Now let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the passage that we read a little earlier, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you have it open in front of you, it'll help you. I'm not doing a series in 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to be for a few weeks picking up passages here and there and doing a series of sermons, mainly on the gospel, evangelistic sermons from particularly the New Testament. Let me very briefly give you the background to this passage, and then we will look at what the passage is teaching. There is in Greece a city called Thessalonica. It's still there today. And 2,000 years ago, a man called the Apostle Paul visited that city with Silas or Silvanus and Timothy. Three Christians visited that city. In all probability, it was the first time ever that Christians had gone to this city of Thessalonica. It was a prominent city in the Roman Empire, but it was probably the first time that Christians had gone there. And they went and they preached the scriptures. They preached the message of the Bible, the Christian message, to the people of this city. And some of those, we don't know how many, though some of those believed the Christian message and became Christians. And a few weeks later, Paul had moved on. He'd left Thessalonica and he had moved on to other cities. And a few weeks later, he wrote this letter. This is a letter that he wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica. Now, in this first chapter, he speaks mainly about his visit. And he says to them, do you remember I came to you and I did certain things? And God, he says, did certain things among you and in your hearts. And because of what God did, you listened to what I was saying and you became Christians. So this passage is explaining to them what happened when he visited Thessalonica. And when we look at this passage, it actually teaches us the answer to this question: what is a Christian? I wonder if you've ever given thought to this question: what is a Christian? I imagine if you were to go outside this afternoon to the seafront, and if it's a hot sunny day, there's loads of people there on the seafront, and if you stopped people at random, and if you say to them, excuse me, can I ask you a question? What is a Christian? I imagine you would get a variety of answers. I imagine some people would say, well, if you were born in a Christian country, you're a Christian. If you're born in Britain or France or Germany or somewhere like that, which is known to be a Christian country, then you're a Christian. I imagine some people would give such an answer. I imagine others would say, well, if you were taken to church as a baby and a priest baptized you, sprinkled some water on you, then you are a Christian because you were christened, you were made a Christian. I imagine others would say, well, if you go to church and you sing hymns and pray, then you're a Christian. And I imagine others would say, well, if you live a decent moral life and you do your best to live a good life, then you're following the teachings of Jesus and you're a Christian. I guess these are some of the answers you would get. And can I just tell you right at the outset, this is not a plot spoiler, but I'll tell you at the outset, all those answers are wrong. They're all wrong. This is an important matter. How you answer this question determines whether you will spend eternity in hell or in heaven. It is that important. You need to understand what is a Christian. Because Christians and only Christians enter heaven. I know that's unpopular teaching, but it is what God says. And God defines what is a Christian. So we must make sure that our understanding has come not from what people are saying. Our understanding of what is a Christian comes from God's word. God says, this is a Christian. We need to understand what he's saying, and we need to make sure we are Christians according to his definition. So this morning we're looking at this passage and we're asking this question, what is a Christian? The passage gives four answers. It says there are four things you will find to be true of every Christian, and every Christian must have these four things that are true about them. So four things that mark out a Christian. In the first place, a Christian is a person who reads and responds to the Bible. A Christian is a person who reads and responds to the Bible. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, and he reminds them of what happened when he visited their city. And he says to them in verse 6, he says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit." You received the word with joy in the Holy Spirit. Later in chapter 2, he says to them in verse 13, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, You accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God." Paul says to these Christians in Thessalonica, he says, "I came to your city, and it was a pagan city, it was an idolatrous city, you were worshipping idols." Very likely they had a temple somewhere in the center of their city, and there were idols in that temple, and very likely the people of this city would go to that temple at regular intervals, perhaps weekly, and they would bow down to these idols and pray to these idols, because that is what so many people in the world do. They worship idols. And Paul says, "I came to your city, and you were these pagan people who were worshipping idols, and I brought to you Christian teaching." And he says to these Christians, he says, "When you heard me, you didn't reject me. You didn't say, 'Oh, but this is new teaching, this is a new religion. We don't want this religion, we've got our own religion.'" He says, "You heard the word of God and you received it for what it is. You didn't say to yourselves, 'This is just an opinion of, this is just the opinions of a man.' You received it for what it is, the word of God. You have before you the Bible, 66 books. And this is the most remarkable book in the universe, because God wrote this book. The Bible tells us that there were these men, prophets in the Old Testament and apostles in the New Testament. And the Bible says God himself directed them, and God himself inspired them, and God himself moved them and enabled them to pick up writing instruments and write. And when they wrote, they weren't writing their own opinions. They weren't writing their own thoughts. They were writing God's word. What you have before you is God speaking. And to reject this is to reject God. A little later in this same letter, he says this. He says, if you reject what we are saying to you, you're not just rejecting the words of men, you are rejecting God himself. So a Christian is a person who recognizes that the Bible is God's word. He doesn't look at this book and say, "Men's opinions, old historical stuff, no longer relevant to 21st century life." That is not the Christian's approach to the Bible. The Christian's approach to the Bible is God himself wrote this. It is eternal and it is eternally relevant. It was relevant when Paul wrote it 2,000 years ago. It was relevant 500 years ago. It was relevant 2,000 years ago. It is relevant today because it is God's eternal word. And the Christian is a person who reads it. They don't just put it away. Oh yes, of course, I'm a Christian and I believe certain things, but have nothing to do with the Bible. A Christian reads the Bible. A Christian studies the Bible. A Christian gets hold of materials that helps them to study the Bible. And a Christian responds to the Bible. It is one thing to read the Bible, but then the Christian responds to the Bible. So when the Bible says something, the Christian believes what it says. And the Bible says, you must do this. And the Christian says, I will do it, because it is God speaking. The Bible is at the heart of the Christian's life, because it is God's word written for him to guide him, direct him, and lead him to heaven. That is the first mark of a Christian. A Christian is a person who reads and responds to the Bible. If you've never read the Bible, I encourage you to get hold of a Bible, and I encourage you to read it. If you need help, come and see me, and I'll give you some guidelines. But I encourage you to do this. Read the Bible. Even if you're not a Christian, read the Bible. It is God speaking. And it is full of blessing, and it will lead you to heaven. A second thing about a Christian. The first thing, a Christian is a person who reads and responds to the Bible. Secondly, a Christian is a person who turns from their sin and turns to Christ. A Christian is a person who turns from their sin and turns to Christ. Look at verse 9, right at the end of this passage. He talks about what people are saying about the Christians in Thessalonica. And he says, they themselves report concerning us what kind of reception we had among you, how you turned to God from idols. How you turned to God from idols, verse 9. These Thessalonians, the people of this city of Thessalonica, when Paul, Silas, and Timothy entered their city, they were idolaters. They were following another religion. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy spoke to them. They would speak to gatherings of people. They would speak to individuals. And they would say to these individuals, we know that this religion that you're following, you've inherited from your ancestors, and it's been going on for a long time, but actually it is a false religion. It is not the truth. This is not the way that you will have blessing from God and forgiveness and a place in heaven. This is idolatry, and God hates idolatry. And you must leave your idolatry. You must leave your sin. And the Christians listened. They didn't reject it. They didn't say, nonsense. They said, all right, if you say that we're sinning and what we're doing is sinful, we will turn. So it says there, you turned to God from your idols. You left your idols. At various points in this letter, he speaks about how these Christians faced difficulties in their Christian lives because they faced troubles from their fellow Thessalonians. And this is because they rejected the religion of the city and became Christians. They turned from their sin. This is what the Bible calls repentance, or to repent. This is a biblical word. And to repent means to turn, to do this 180 degree turn. It means a person is walking in a certain path, in a certain direction, and God says, repent. And the person doesn't reject the word of God. The person says, God has commanded me to do something because the path that I'm walking on is away from God. It is a path of sin. So they do a 180 degree turn and they walk in the direction of God and they walk towards God. If you love your sin and you love this world and the things of this world and the pleasures of this world, you can never be a Christian. A Christian is a person who turns from the things of this world and the pleasures of this world. As a Christian is a person who turns from their sinful ways. A Christian is a person who says, this thing that I'm doing is sinful in the eyes of God. God is against it. I will leave it. Repentance is a lifelong work. We begin to turn away from our sin. And throughout our lives, we continually turn away from our sins. We're continually leaving sin and coming to God. So a Christian is a person who turns from their sin and turns to Christ. This is what these people did. They used to worship these idols, and they left the worship of idols, and they came to Jesus Christ, and they put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Because this is the central matter of the whole thing. At the heart of the Christian faith is Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life here on earth, who was crucified on the cross of Calvary, who was raised again from the dead, who today is seated at the right hand of the Father and is the high priest of his people and the only savior of his people. And if you want forgiveness for your sins, you must come to Jesus Christ and ask him. You cannot go to a man and ask him to forgive you. I cannot forgive you your sins. I'm a sinner myself. Every human being on the face of this earth today is a sinner. Only Christ can forgive sins. You want to go to heaven, you must come to Christ and you must trust him, put your faith in him and ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. You must put all your faith in him and in him alone. Do not trust in a religion. Do not trust in your works. Do not trust in baptism. Do not trust in any of these things. Christ alone saves. These Thessalonians came to Jesus Christ and they prayed to him and they said to him, will you forgive us our sins? Will you cleanse us in your blood? Will you make us new people? And Jesus Christ forgave them and cleansed them and made them new people and brought them into the kingdom of God, and they became the children of God, and the Spirit of God lived in them, and he prepared them for heaven because he is Savior. I've said this many times, I'll repeat it very briefly. I was born and raised a Hindu, and I was an idolater. This passage sings to me because they were idolaters. I was an idolater. And I read the Bible, didn't go to church, read the Bible. And I saw that Christianity is the true way. Christ alone is Savior. And in my bedroom one night, I simply prayed, Jesus, save me. And I was saved and forgiven and on my way to heaven. Not because I'm a good person, but because Christ is a great Savior. We are not saved by our works. We're not saved by our efforts. We're not saved by the things that we do, religious works and good works. These count for nothing with God. We are saved through faith in Christ alone. We must trust him and ask him to save us. You might think you're a Christian today, and I say to you, ask yourself this. Are you trusting in Christ? I worked in Africa as a missionary, and we used to say to people, when you die and you're standing at the gates of heaven, and they ask you the question, why should we let you in? What would you answer? And I remember some of the answers people gave. Well, I was born to Christian parents. That counts for nothing. Won't let you in. I was baptized as a baby. Won't let you in. I went to church every Sunday. Won't let you in. I was a good person. Won't let you in. I had a kind of a belief in God. Won't let you in. I did good works. Won't let you in. I gave to charity. Won't let you in. I trusted Jesus Christ. That's it. Christ is my Savior. He's there waiting for me, and I want to be with him. That's it. Do you trust Jesus Christ? So a Christian is a person who reads and responds to the Bible. A Christian is a person who turns from their sin and turns to Christ. Third thing from this passage, a Christian is a person who serves the living and true God. Look again at verse 9. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And what he's saying to them is that you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You trusted him for your salvation and you became Christians because your faith brought you to this new life in Christ. And once you became Christians, you then served God. You then gave your lives to God. You formed a local church in Thessalonica, the first time in the history of this city that a church, a Christian church, had come into existence. And remember, a church isn't a building. They didn't have a building. This letter was written a few weeks after these people became Christians. They couldn't have put up a building in a few weeks. They didn't have a building. They probably met in somebody's house, or they probably met by the riverside or somewhere under a tree or something like that. Because a church isn't a building, a church is people. And where God's people are gathered, that is the church. And so these people left the temple and the worship of idols, and they gathered as a group. And they said, right, the Christians came here, and they brought their message, and we have believed their message, and we've become Christians. We're trusting Jesus Christ for our salvation and our place in heaven. We're not trusting in idols or in good works. We're trusting in Christ. Right, we're now a group of Christians. And they committed themselves to each other. They became a local church. And they said, we're now going to serve each other because this is what Christians do. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. You have to be very careful how you see good works in the life of the Christian. Christians do good works. But Christians don't do good works in the hope that the good works will take them to heaven. Christians do good works because they're already going to heaven. Their place in heaven is secure. So we're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. And Christians join a local church. And Christians have gifts that God has given them. The Bible says this. The Bible says God himself gives us gifts. And Christians use their gifts for the benefit of the local church, to serve the local church. So the Christian doesn't say to himself, well, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord Jesus, I've trusted in Christ, and then stays at home. There's something very wrong with a person who claims to be a Christian, but has no commitment to a local church. The Christian joins the body of a local church and begins to use his or her gift and says, how can I serve my brothers and my sisters who are in the local church? And that's what they did. He says, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. To be active in the life of the local church is part of being a Christian. So a Christian is a person who reads and responds to the Bible. Christian is a person who turns from their sin and turns to Christ. Christian is a person who serves the living and true God. Fourthly and finally, a Christian is a person who waits eagerly for the Lord Jesus to return. He waits eagerly for the Lord Jesus to return. Verse 10, the last verse of this passage. He says, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Before the Christian message came to this city, the only thing the people in Thessalonica were interested in was this world and the pleasures of this world. They rarely thought about life after death. Most people who aren't Christians don't think about life after death. I think primarily because they can't bear to think about life after death. It's such an uncertainty. And they certainly don't think of it as home where we are going. But this is the great thing about a Christian. A Christian knows. And that's a biblical word. A Christian knows that their sins are forgiven. Knows without a doubt. A Christian knows that they belong to God, are members of God's family. A Christian knows that God is his Father. And a Christian knows that they're going to heaven. Heaven is my home. There's no doubt about it. There's no uncertainty in it. They know that for a fact. And heaven determines their earthly lives. They live their earthly lives in the light of heaven, with the hope of heaven ever before them. I think I might have used this illustration before. I went to school in Kenya. And when the time came for us to apply for university, our teachers would encourage us to apply for good universities. And I'd never been to Britain, but she got hold of photographs of British universities. And she would put them up on the wall of our classroom. And I remember Reading University and Oxford University and Cambridge University and London and so on. And she would say, now you work hard at your A levels and you do well and you can go to these places. And I remember going to that class. And I had actually looked at Cambridge. I wasn't good enough to go to Cambridge. But I looked at Cambridge and I thought, that's where I want to go. It looked so beautiful. And you see, that sort of determined my behavior. I didn't go and play cricket and hockey. I worked hard at my A-levels. And my friends would say, oh, come on, let's go and play. No. I want to go to Cambridge. I didn't make it, but I want to go to Cambridge. And so I worked hard at my A-levels. Because you see, that, in a sense, had an effect upon me. It determined how I lived my life. Now, that was just a temporary thing. That's just a city in England. But this is heaven. And God says to us, if you are a Christian, you have trusted in the Lord Jesus, you are going to heaven. And you need to be prepared for heaven. You need to be turning away from your sin and leaving your sin, because sin has no place in heaven. And you need to become more and more like Christ, because when you're fully like Christ, perfectly like him, then you're ready for heaven. And so these people in Thessalonica, they were told by the Apostle Paul when he visited their city, one day Jesus is coming back. And when he comes, he will judge the living and the dead. And he will separate those who are Christians from those who are not Christians. And those who are Christians, he will welcome them into heaven. And those who are not Christians, he will cast them into outer darkness. And you are going to heaven because you have trusted in Jesus. So heaven became a living reality in their lives. It became the determining force of their lives. They were living for heaven. They were getting ready for heaven. They were preparing themselves for heaven. It was all about heaven. And we as Christians today need to learn this. We need to take hold of their example. We can become earthly minded, even as born again Christians. We become earthly minded. We've got to be careful. Heaven has a huge part to play in our daily lives. And we need to think about heaven and meditate on heaven. Let me just read to you some words that the Apostle Paul wrote. The Apostle John wrote. And John says this, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. He's speaking about Jesus. When Jesus appears, he says, we shall be like him. And he says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone, he says, who has the hope of heaven pursues holiness, righteousness, perfection, because the hope of heaven is there. And you know, heaven is a perfect place. So you pursue perfection because you know that is your home. The people of Thessalonica made much of the second coming of Christ. They waited eagerly for him. They were yearning for him. And they were getting ready for him. Friends, let's never forget this. One day our Savior will come back. And he will judge the living and the dead. And if you're a Christian, your place in heaven is guaranteed. And if you aren't a Christian according to God's definition, then you need to come to Christ and ask him to save you and to prepare you for heaven, because he is coming and we must be ready.